Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We are continuing our update of the Ukrainian and Russian war. Kaylee Clifford is a researcher at the South African Institute of International Affairs. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thanks for having me.
All right. So, in fact, I believe we do have a call on the line. So, I'm going to ask you to just stay on hold. Oh, in fact, no, there's a bit of a problem with that. So, Kaylee, let's chat in the meantime. And can you bring us the latest? Because there seems to be a bit of a dispute around which areas Russia is holding and which areas Ukraine is managing to defend.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been about a week. It was around this time last week that we heard the news that Russia was going to carry out a special military operation in Ukraine, as Putin framed it in his televised address. And the situation is definitely progressing. We're seeing Russia closing in on the larger Ukrainian cities, including the capital, Kyiv. As you said, disputes as to, you know, which cities have actually been taken and which have not. I saw this morning that Ukrainian authorities confirmed Russia had taken Kherson and are closing in on other cities. But we're also seeing more reports that Russian troops are now targeting civilian areas. Ukraine, of course, still resisting where they can, but the number of deaths are climbing, the number of people that are displaced by this war is climbing, and the situation remains very serious indeed.
Is there any chance that Ukraine can hold out, or is this, or is the fall of Kyiv ultimately inevitable?
Well, if what's coming out of Ukraine is to be believed, I mean, they have been much more forthcoming in terms of providing numbers of Russian troops that have reportedly died or surrendered. They have been forthcoming about the number of Russian tanks or helicopters that have been downed. So it appears initially as if, you know, Russian troops are having a harder time than they probably expected in Ukraine, that they're facing much more resistance than they expected, not just from the Ukrainian army, but from regular Ukrainian citizens. But it does seem that in the last couple of days that Russia's kind of upped the ante a little bit.
As we would expect them to do, because they can't really afford to lose this. So the situation, and I guess what concerns me more than anything, well, there are a couple of, there's many things that do, I suppose, but as Russia succeeds less or as it takes longer, they lose face, they lose credibility, people get angered, there's lots of sanctions, companies pulling out of Russia. They have to end this quickly. And isn't that potentially quite dangerous?
It is. I mean, there are a couple of things to consider here. One is that there are peace talks happening. You know, that negotiators from Moscow and Kyiv met at the border of Belarus to discuss peace between the two countries. That was earlier this week. But the reports that came out of that meeting were that neither side really agreed to anything concrete. They did, however, agree on points that needed to be discussed further. So today, actually, they're meeting again to continue their discussions. And, you know, you want to remain hopeful that something positive will come out of that. But Russia's entertaining these peace talks on the one hand, and then they continue their attack on Ukrainian cities, and including civilian areas, on the other. And that doesn't really instill confidence. And then, of course, last night we saw the results of the UN General Assembly.
Right. Well, that was going to be what I wanted to talk to you about as well.
Yes.
I hang my head in shame, not that I'm surprised at South Africa's behavior. We've certainly seen it coming. We've seen the pattern. What do you make of it?
So, I mean, unfortunately, South Africa has bungled this situation a little bit. There's been a lot of kind of flip-flopping between condemning Russia and then much more soft-tone language. Durko, of course, released a statement yesterday evening explaining their decision to abstain from the UN General Assembly vote. And one thing that really struck me straight away was the language. It kept referring to the conflict in Ukraine, to the situation in Ukraine. And it steered clear from words like war, invasion, but even more concerning, it doesn't actually mention the word Russia once.
Wow.
And even the reasons for its abstention I find difficult to accept. You know, it says things like the resolution did not meet South Africa's expectations, that it may drive a further wedge between the two parties and hamper efforts for the peaceful resolution of conflict. And all of that, if true, is fine. I mean, there's always room for diplomacy. But there are also certain tools that are helpful before a war breaks out and certain tools that are helpful afterwards, right? And what's happening in Ukraine is a war. It's not a situation. It's not a conflict. It's a war. Russia has been identified as the aggressor. And there should be a problem with acknowledging that. If South Africa is such a good friend to Russia, it should be able to say, look, we think what you're doing here is wrong. And it should be able to do that without being afraid of the consequences.
What happens afterwards? You know, is maybe let me ask a different question. Does it really matter what South Africa does? Do we have any credibility left on the world stage?
Well, I mean, if we look at the vote, unfortunately, at the UN General Assembly level, it's non-binding. But the resolution does carry political weight. And I think this is a symbolic victory for Ukraine. It's evidence of Russia's increasing international isolation. And for South Africa, you know, evidence that it's also sitting alone with four others, or the others that abstained in the vote.
And not four not very impressive countries either, in terms of human rights records.
Yes, not very good company to be keeping, especially, you know, a country that has traditionally punched above its weight diplomatically and that has always, you know, sort of taken a very clear stance on human rights. So I think a lot of people would have been disappointed by South Africa's vote yesterday, and history will judge us harshly for that as well.
What's fascinating is also the hypocrisy, of course, that today the South African government is marching to the Israeli embassy. There it's prepared to make its stand known and take sides in a conflict. But when it comes to Russia and any of its friends, Cuba, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, it will not take a stand because, or even Zimbabwe, really, we don't interfere with the affairs of another country. But unless, of course, we choose to.
Yeah, a bit of a double standard there and clear evidence that, you know, in some cases, South Africa is willing to take a stand and others not. And unfortunately, this is one of those instances where, yeah, like I say, I think people will be disappointed with the position that South Africa has taken.
Yeah, what is interesting, though, and I don't know if it's bots or not, but I wrote an article on News 24, even ahead of this vote, about South Africa's appalling position on this. And there were more than 1,000 comments on it, and many of whom were supporting South Africa's decision to befriend Russia. And I don't know if they were real or not, but is there a group of South Africans that actually think we should be standing with Russia today?
So I think a key aspect of this is also understanding the history between South Africa and Russia, which does go all the way back to, you know, the days of the Soviet Union, which for a long time was the main benefactor of the ANC during the anti-apartheid struggle. So there's this rich history between the two of them that really does have relevance today. And many of the kind of older members of the ANC are, you know, quite loyal in their tone and their messaging towards the ANC, and that carries down. And then, of course, at the level of the general public, you have opinions as to, you know, whether Russia is really the aggressor or whether it is right to be taking a stance against what it sees as NATO's aggression. A lot of opinion. But, I mean, South Africa has always had quite a healthy and vibrant civil society, quite an independent media, and in a lot of ways this kind of debate is healthy.
I guess you're absolutely right about that. Kaylee Clifford, a researcher at the South African Institute of International Affairs, talking to us about the Ukraine-Russia situation. No war.